Have you ever known anyone, and oh my goodness, they were just a terror? 8-year-old, 12-year-old, 14-year-old, 38-year-old. But have you ever known kids that are just absolutely, I mean, you just think, man, where are the horns? They got to be there. Come on, somebody. I don't want to raise my hand. Some of you were like that. Amen. Amen. But here's my question. Did you ever know, you ever notice sometimes mothers are delusional? And you're talking to the mom, and man, their kid is a terror, man. This young lady, they're just off the hook, disobedient, just won't listen to anything. But when you talk to the mom's like, "Oh, my little angel." And you're thinking, oh my goodness. Hello. Now, all right. Now, that, I want to talk about that today. Because, and I want to talk to you about, and you've got to stay really engaged today, because I'm going to get into some detail, and you got to stay with me. You got to stay with me, because I'm going to deal with some technical things. But you need to hear what I'm saying. Here's what the Bible says in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Let's say that. We know that. Let's say that together. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, guys in the back, quickly go to Romans chapter 3, starting with verse 1. And this is where we're jumping off. This is our proof text of the series. What advantage, Paul writes, what advantage then has the Jews, or what profit is the circumcision? Very much in every way, chiefly because to them were committed the oracles of God. The word of God, you know what? That was committed to them. How many, the word of God is a great advantage for anybody. That's all he's saying. But then he says this, for what if some didn't believe? Here's the question. What if some don't believe that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth? Well, Paul says it doesn't make any difference. Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Well, in other words, will people who don't believe that God created the heavens and the earth, oh, that's just so simplistic. Oh, Pastor, that's so stupid. Oh, we know more. We're more intelligent. That's not scientific. Hello? Oh, no, that's not scientific. And listen, and what Christians have come because of the adamantness, listen, because of the repetition of, listen, only one song being sung. You know, you can create you can taste something that is awful, and you can go, yuck, this is awful. But over a period of time, if you keep on being given that same whatever it is, that same spice or that same ingredient or that same whatever it is, over a period of time, you can acquire a taste of that. Here's what I'm saying, and you understand. Do you know who Charles Darwin is? Okay, raise your hand if you don't know who Charles Darwin is. Okay, just maybe 10. Okay, raise your hand if you know who Charles Darwin is. Raise your hand real high. Okay, see, that's the majority of us. Charles Darwin was born in 1809, okay, but he had a thought, a belief. Everybody say a belief. Everybody say a belief. He had a belief that man wasn't created by God, but that man evolved from an original one cell. Everybody say one cell. Now, here's the problem with that. The problem with that, and I'm going to show you, and I'm not going to, listen, I'm not talking to you from a, how do I say this? That's hard for me to explain it. But I'm talking about science today. I'm talking to you about science today. And I believe that Christians, because we've only heard one side, one side, one side, one side, one side. You know what? Guys in the back, give me the picture of the chimpanzee, the turning into a monkey, turning into an ape, turning into a man. Find that picture and throw that up here. Okay. Okay. You know what? When I was in the third grade, I saw that. How many recognize before you even see it, recognize that picture? Okay. See all over. You know what? You know why? Because you saw that picture. Here's what you're not told. That the fossil records don't prove that picture. Here's what you're not told, that you know, you can go to the Smithsonian Institute and they have reduplicated that picture in model form. Here's what you're not told. There's not proof for that. The fossil records are void of that. I'm just telling you the truth. The mathematical equations. If you know what, guys, are we getting that up? As soon as you get that up, I need to see it. The mathematical equations are irrefutably. Everybody say irrefutably. Irrefutably. Darwinism is impossible if you'll go over to the math department. Absolutely impossible. You say, but Pastor, that's not what I heard in high school. That's not what I heard. See, all this, you know what all this is? All this is an artist. That's what that is. That's an artist depiction of what Darwin believed. Everybody say what Darwin believed. Tamara, do you have my phone? Can you get my phone out? And I'm going to talk for sure 3, maybe 4 facts that prove that Darwinism is so completely unscientific. You say, well, why if you go to UCLA? What if you go to USC? What if you go to Cal State Fullerton? Why if you go to, you know, all these major colleges? Pastor, listen, at these major colleges, you're not going to hear any of this stuff. There's something called the Cambridge explosion. Does anybody know what the Cambridge explosion is? Okay. Now, that that has proven my point. Does anybody... Brian, raise your hand real high. Does anybody know what the Cambridge explosion is? One hand. All of your hands should go up. Two hands. Okay. Okay, two hands. And that means all the other people don't have any idea of what we're talking about. But see, how many know this is, how many have seen this? Raise your hand. Okay. Now, this is a fabrication of Darwin's belief. This in the fossil records cannot be substantiated. It's a theory. It's a belief. That's what a theory is. I don't want to talk about theory because when I talk about theory, because you've heard it so often, you think, oh, calculations, that's scientific. No, it's a belief. And Fred, you're right. It is a theory, but you know what? We have equaled theory to truth. That's why I don't want to use that. The battle is in vocabulary. This is a belief. This is not true. This is not accurate. This is not scientifically substantiated. Matter of fact, this is just the opposite. This is craziness. This is craziness. Let's go to go to number five. Go to five. What is this? This is Darwin's tree of life. This is Darwin's tree of life. And from a single cell plasma. When Darwin lived, he thought that that a single cell was very, very simple. And he thought that because he lived in the 1800s when there wasn't a lot of advancements as far as scientific truth. Now we know so much more as far as science is concerned. But understand, at this base of this tree is one cell organism. Now, here's what they believe, that somehow, they don't know how, they call it some kind of soup. Ooh, that sounds scientific, doesn't it? Primordial soup. Thank you. I couldn't think of that word. Primordial soup. That somehow, they don't know how, but something happened and the one cell turned into two cells. Now, let's talk about, and I tell you, you got to stay with me. Here's what Darwin observed, okay? And understand, science is something that you can observe, you can see it, you can test it, you can prove it. Everybody say, that's science. So here's what he observed. He went to this island and he observed this bird, and over a period of time, the bird's beak changed. And so because the bird's beak changed, he theorized, he started to believe, oh, that's how man was developed. Because the bird is making an adaptation so that bird can catch a worm better or whatever. It's called, you're familiar with this, survival of the fittest. See, you guys know. So survival of the fittest, which here's what it means. It means if you get in a cold climate, that the wolves with the thicker coats are going to live longer, and the wolves with the thinner coats are going to die off sooner. Well, when they die off, the mama and the daddy with the thick coats will get together, and they're going to have babies with thick coats. Well, we know that. Anybody who knows anything about dogs or horses understands that. How do you get a fast baby horse? How do you get a fast baby horse? You found a fast mama, right? And you find a fast mama horse, and you find a fast daddy horse, and you light a candle and put romantic, music in their stall, and boom, and pretty soon you're going to have a very fast baby horse. Right? Are you catching that? That is, nobody argues that fact. Nobody argues that fact. Why? Because that's observable. That's provable. That is science. What's not science is that frog became a dog. That's not science. So, listen to me. the fossil records. Everybody say the fossil records. Can prove all these different life forms. But what the fossil record doesn't prove is any of these transitional. So watch this. If you take away the branches of this tree, you have an accurate scientific looking diagram. But if you take away the branches of the tree, what do you have? No, even the trunk's not there. If you take away, look here, just do me this. Take all this stuff away, what do you have? All you have is creation. All you have is plants, dogs, cats, monkeys, giraffes. That's all you have. That is science. And that completely lines up with Genesis 1:1, which says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Is this making sense to anybody? Because what I want to do, I want to equip you with enough information that you can walk out of here and understand how unscientific Darwinism is. And you say, but Pastor, how in the world are you going to do that in this little time? Here's how I'm going to do it. It's not that complicated. And all I'm going to do is I'm going to take her three questions. And most of you, I'm just saying, because I didn't understand her three questions when she first said it. But I'm going to take her three questions to that professor, and I'm going to show you very simplistic and very simple how unscientific. Everybody say unscientific. Unscientific. Say, yeah, but see, here's the thing. Most students don't sit down and think that their college professor is unwise and not smart, you know, and in biology or chemistry or whatever it is. They don't think that. They don't go into it with a cynical. So watch this. They have their defenses down. And here's the thing. Because you as Christians, this is going to sound like I'm being belittling to you, but I'm not. I'm just trying to be real with where most Christians are. Can I be real? Yeah. Because we don't know. Why don't we know? Because we weren't been taught. I'm going to teach this to you today. Because somebody's got to teach the truth. And it's great to say, let God be true and every man a liar. The Bible, here's why I believe that, you know what, that God, that here's why I'm a creationalist. Because the Bible says in Genesis, you know what, in the beginning God created the heaven and earth. And there's nothing wrong with that, and I love that. But here's what I want to also teach you. That you don't have, because here's the thing. I believe in the back of our mind we kind of think, well, they're smarter than us. They're more accurate than us. They're, you know what, when it comes down to it, and here's the thing, because they've never been taught any of this, they don't know about the Cambridge explosion. You know what, they don't know about the mathematical problems. They don't know about DNA. Why? Because their professor has never taught them that. Why? Because it's simple. Because their professor never taught them that. And their professor never taught them that. This Darwinism had been shoved down our throats for years with no, with nobody questioning the huge holes of craziness that are right in the cake of Darwinism. And I'm saying, there's scientists like this guy who recognized, if I'm honest, everybody say honest. Honest. This stuff is absolutely unscientific. Creationalists, what they call intelligent design, is a much more accurate scientific belief to understand how we came. Now, let me talk about Darwin. And let me tell you why Darwin was so prolifically responsible for so much of the ungodliness that you and I deal with every day and see. Here's why. Because before that point, the worldview predominantly was God exists. And you saw it in the arts. You saw it in architecture. You saw it in the educational system. You saw it in government. You saw it in all kinds of facets of life. Here's why. Because almost everybody believed that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Darwin was so destructive because for the first time, people had what they believed was a rational idea of how man got created. And what Darwin did is he went to the Galapagos Island. He saw these finches. He saw their beaks being developed. And then he theorized that is absolutely how man was developed. The Big Bang created this soup. And then from this soup jumped out a tadpole, and that tadpole became a fish, and the fish became, you know what, a toad, and the toad became a, you know what, giraffe, and the giraffe became a monkey, and the monkey became you.
Wow.
Okay. But this young lady points out three of the major, and there's way more than three. There's way more than three. Look at your neighbor, say there was way more than three. But I'm simply going to deal with three, actually maybe four, but probably just three. Questions. Guys in the back, give me question number one. Question number one. How by natural selection and random mutation can they randomly produce new and better structures? That's what she asked this guy. He's like, Pastor, I don't even know what you just said. Okay, let me break it down. Natural selection. Natural selection just means that not by someone who chooses. It's not by an intellectual. It's random. Everybody say random.
Random.
It's randomly there's this selection process over time. What's natural selection? What's random mutation? Random mutation is that every once in a while, if you're making this keyboard, every once in a while they'll have a random mutation in this keyboard, and when you go to play this note, it won't work. It's a defect. And in life, in animals, every once in a while you'll have these random mutations. Well, how many know random mutations aren't good? Somebody. Random mutations are a DNA that has something missing. That's why it's not good. That's why it's bad. And it's a random mutation. Natural selection is just this, in a period of time, this randomness of something going from this point to that point. Here's the problem with that. The problem is Newton's second law of relativity. And here's what Newton's second law of relativity says, that if you have something of anything, this light, this podium, a book, this South Sanctuary, anything, a car, and it's structured and it makes sense, over a period of time, that order is going to become disorder.
Wow.
Here, you don't believe me? Just the other day, Tamara and I went to our backyard, and we're like, ah! Because at one point in time, our backyard was totally groomed. It looked totally nice. But in our busyness, all the trees started to, we have this one vine, and that vine just started to get crazy, and then the bushes went crazy, and boom, and all of a sudden there was a mess. That is life. That is natural selection. Naturally, things don't go from chaotic to orderly. They do go from what? Orderly to what?
Chaotic.
chaotic. So are you all with me? So what this young girl is asking, how in the world by natural selection, because we know through natural selection, things don't go from disorder to order. They go just the opposite. They go from order to disorder. And we know random mutation is crazy negative. So how through these two sources can we have better structures? Did you see his answer? I'll have to think about that. I'll get back to you on that. You know why? Because there's no scientific answer. Now you say, yeah, but what if I raised my hands in science class and said that? You would be mocked for the next 45 minutes. And even the class members would mock. Why? Because they don't know. Why? Because they never been taught this. This is science. I said, this is science. You can prove this. And you can do it repeatedly. That's what science is. Okay, number one, it doesn't happen. And so let me show you something. Number two. Are not the odds of assembly of genes mathematically impossible? What does that mean? Okay. Show me, go to number 20. Go to number 20. Now, this is a lock, and this lock has, count them with me, 1, 2, 3, 4. You didn't do it. Count it with me. Ready?
1, 2, 3.
Okay. So, has 4. If you didn't know the combination, how many know you could pick this lock? But how many know it would take you a lot of time? How many take you a lot of time? Why? Because with 4 digits, with just 4 digits, it is 10^4. That is 10,000 possible combinations. How long is it going to take you? And you got to write these down because you don't want to do one twice. How long is it going to take you to go over all 10,000 possible combinations? How many know it's going to take a long time? But how many know if you did that, you could get that lock open? Okay. How long? I don't know. I think, you know what? Probably 3 or 4 days. It's going to take you a long time. But watch this. What if you had... What if you had a combination? Go to number 21.
Uh-oh.
Everybody count together with me. Ready? Go.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
What if you had a lock with 10? Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about random natural selection. Randomly. There's no order. Why? Because there's no God. That's what Darwin believed. There's no God. This didn't happen orderly. This had to happen randomly. Everybody say randomly. Okay. So you don't have the order. You don't know the combination. You have to randomly come up with the combination. Now, what is that? That if you have these, if you had 10 of them, it's 10^10. Oh, that, you know what that is? That's 10 million. 10 billion. Somebody help me out.
Billion.
10 billion. How long is that going to take you to figure out? How long is that going to take you to figure out? Go to 19. Go to number 19. Time and tide wait for no man. Let's say that together. Time and tide wait for no man. Okay. If you have all these letters by a randomness of chance, so we throw all these letters in a bucket and we spit them out, Okay? And we come up with this. How many times are we going to have to throw that in a bucket and spit them out? And at what point in time are we going to come up with time and tide, wait for no man? How many know you're going to be there a long time? How many know you're probably going to have very, 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 very gray hair? Some of us, no hair. I shouldn't say some of us, some of you. No hair by the time that happens. Now, here's my point. What is the magic wand to make Darwinism true? Here's what it is. Time. Darwinists believe that the earth is 5 billion years old. 5 billion years old. Here's the problem. Here's the problem. When the mathematician talks to the biologist, you know what? 5 billion years old isn't long enough. Listen to her second question. Are not the odds of assembly of genes mathematically impossible? I'll say it like this. Are not the odds of the assembly based on natural selection mathematically impossible? And that professor, and he thought, just like he thought, oh, well, no, of course they're possible. You know what I mean? And he figures it out. He says, you've had a lot of math. And he figures out, guess what he figures out? He figures out the same thing that mathematician, you know what, from MIT to Stanford have figured out. And it's documented. That this Darwinism is not scientific. It's unscientific. It can be proven how unscientific it is. You say, well, Pastor, then how come they believe that? Well, I'll get to that in a minute. I want to first show you, let's go to picture 23. I won't even have you count this, okay? Okay, let's start. Let's do it together. One, no, I'm just joking. Okay. But if we had a lock with 77 digits, everybody say 77 digits. And you randomly started one day to, everybody say random. That's what Darwin believed. He believed there's no order. This is randomly. This happened randomly. And you randomly just went through this and tried to get the combination, you know what, that it would take you. Here's the number. Here's when you're going to open that after you've gone through this amount of number. 10 to the 77th power. How big a number that is? I don't even know. But here's what it is. To show you how big that number is. It is 10 to 77th power is a larger number than all of the atoms in the Milky Way galaxy. Okay, Darwin, I hope you have a lot of time on your hands. It was interesting because how many know there's a lot of smart people go to MIT? Okay, you know what? It was such a weird thing. When I graduated from Pioneer High School, I was put in my applications or my to many colleges, and it was so weird because MIT rejected me. I don't have any idea why that happened. Amen. I mean, no, I'm telling a fib, okay? I mean, no, I didn't even apply to MIT. But MIT, real, real smart people. And one time they had this, they're kind of like a, you know, they have company picnics. Well, they had the company picnic. And here's what was so interesting. The math, one of the professors in the math department, because they were at this picnic, started talking to some of the biologists and some of the chemists at MIT. And you know what he said? He said, he told them, he said, I can prove mathematically, according to your data, that Darwinism is absolutely mathematically, scientifically impossible to happen. Based on math and based on this random natural selection. So, what is this number represent? This number represents that how one, everybody say one. how one protein, how long it would take randomly for one protein to be made randomly. Everybody say one protein. And your professor at Cal State LA, at Cal State Fullerton, at UCLA, you know what, at Rio Hondo College, you know what, is not going to tell you any of this. He's not going to tell you any of this. But here's why. Because it doesn't fit his narrative. Now, can we get spiritual? Because how many know and recognize everything I taught you was spiritual? Why in the world is this going on at our colleges, even at our high schools, even at our junior highs? Why in the world, and here's a great question, I'm not trying to be condescending, but I'm trying to teach you something. How in the world could we not understand this? We need to be teaching this to our junior hires. We need to be teaching this to our high schoolers. We need to equip them, because Darwinism has equipped our kids to think that there can be existence of man without God. And it is absolutely void of science. Absolutely void of science. This is so preposterous. So why in the world does that happen? Well, that's simple. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. You know this verse. Matter of fact, your dad used to quote me this verse all the time. You know what? All the time. I can hear him even now. But it'd say this. It'd say, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also to the Greek." The word of God is the power that's going to make us whole. Amen. You're going to get whole. Here's how you're going to get whole. Through the word of God. Amen? Amen. That's why for so many people, and you know what? And you started coming here, and your life is all jacked up. For many of you, your life is still jacked up, but it's less jacked up than it was before. Amen? And you're seeing that your life getting better. Why? Because the Word of God is, if you're applying the Word of God, because it's so important not only just to hear the Word of God, but you've got to apply the Word of God. But if you apply the Word of God, I guarantee you, your life will get better. Your relationships will get better. Every area in your life. Next verse, watch this. For in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. What's that mean? You start to understand that there's good choices you need to make. You start to see that righteousness, and you start to move towards that. From faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. See, we've got to apply these things. People can come, listen, you can come to church, you can come to Hope all day long. But if you don't apply the application of the Word of God, your life won't get any better. You go, "I don't understand. I started coming to nothing. Nothing's happening," because you've got to do it. You've got to go back. You've got to understand the just shall live by their faith. You start to see the righteousness of God, and you start to apply it in your life. Is this making sense? Okay, but I'm going somewhere. Next verse. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against. How many know good choice is good life? How many know that's true? But how many know part of the gospel is if you make bad choices, you're going to have a bad life? But Pastor, that's not very positive. Well, it's a good thing to know, amen? It is positive, because I can make good choices or bad choices. What's negative is what the world says. You can make all kinds of bad choices and just have no ramification for that. That's negative, amen? For the wrath of God is revealed in heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who, here's your part, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Everybody say, who suppress the truth? See, listen, these facts that I told you about Darwinism, I'm going to tell you one more, I think, before I'm done. These facts are facts. Anybody could find them out. But there's a suppression of them. They're not written in the textbook. You know who writes the textbooks? You know who writes the textbooks? The professors write the textbooks. The ungodly professors write the textbooks. And they won't tell you about the Cambridge explosion. Watch this. Who suppressed the truth for unrighteousness. Next verse. Watch this. Because, here's why. Why won't they listen to the truth? Why are they suppressed? Why are they believing in a theory that is so unbelievable? Why won't they talk to the mathematicians? Why won't they find out? Why won't they look at the Cambridge experience? What's the Cambridge explosion? Here's what the Cambridge explosion is, and I'll explain it very quickly. Go to number 12. Okay, so these are layers of sediment. At this layer, the Cambrian layer, they found these very complex sea creatures. Not simple ones, complex, with hearts and brains and all kinds of systems, okay? Here's the problem. The problem is when they go down to this layer underneath, somebody put their thinking cap on, according to Darwinism, and they find complex animals at this layer, what should they find at this layer? They should find simpler ones. They should find simpler ones. Right? Does this make sense? One of the biggest arguments is one of the things that she says in her questioning this professor. Here's what she says. How come there's no evidence where exactly in the fossil records is the evidence for the evolution of the species? Where's the evidence? Where's the science? Where's the facts? Where is it? Because, guys, go back to this. Because if you look at this, you should see this very complex. Underneath, you should see the simple forms of life. But they can't find it. In the fossil records, they find nothing, and all of a sudden they find complex. What does that sound like to you? Sounds like creation to me. Okay, can I go back to my original story? How come the mom can't see the tear that is called Johnny? Because she doesn't want to see the tear called Johnny. Go back to the verse I was on, guys. Go back to the verse I was on. Romans. Okay. Because, here's why. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Watch this. For since the creation of the world has invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Were you made? Here's what Romans says. You know exactly what's going on. So why do they suppress it? Well, let's see. Being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. Even the things of God, you can figure it out. So that every man is without excuse. Look at your neighbor and say, you have no excuse. You know why you have no excuse? Because you woke up this morning and saw the rain. Last night, I took a picture of this, but I didn't have time. Last night, I'm thinking about this. I look up, and the most beautiful moon and these clouds all around the moon, and it just creeped. Did anybody see it last night? It was absolutely, it was gorgeous, was it not? And God is saying, hey, I'm alive. You think that happened randomly? Guys, show me quickly some of the pictures that I have. You think this stuff happens randomly? You think the creation, you think that is randomly? You think that came out of just a coinkadink? No. I love when my voice like turns like this because I enjoy the preaching style when I just go off the chart in a squeaky. You think God just made that really? I mean, you think that came randomly? You think that's coinkadink? It's absolutely preposterous. And the Bible says, so why, guys, go back to the verse. So why does this, why is this happening? Here's why. Because, next verse, or without excuse, because although they knew God, people know, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but because it became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Now, turn to the scripture in James quickly. Scripture in James. So what's going on? Here's what's going on. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. See, you know why all the professors, all the students will not get on the internet and find the simple truth that I found on the internet? Here's why. Because they don't want to find it. Here's why. Because without God, we're left to our own thoughts. And fornication becomes no big deal. I'm not that bad. Lying becomes justified. Everything gets graded on a curve. And you're grading your own paper. And you know there's somebody who lies more than you. So your lying isn't a big deal. Your fornication isn't a big deal. Your adultery, even adultery is not a big deal. You know what I mean? Nothing's a big deal. See, that's what's going on. We want to get rid of God because now we can justify our sin. Oh, I'm preaching good now. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
See, and so we got to get back and say, wait a minute, junior higher, wait a minute, high schooler, wait a minute, college student, wait a minute, you know, young adult, wait a minute, parent, wait a minute, even grandparent, stop believing this absolute lie. It's not accurate. It's not true. It's physically impossible. It's unscientific. There's so much proof against it. And there are scientists now by the thousands that are signing a document that says that Darwinism isn't scientific. Let God be true and every man a liar. See, you need to understand this stuff. And you need to not walk in shame and thinking that you don't know anything, that they're right, that you're wrong, because they'll stand up there and they won't teach you any of this. And they'll teach you a lie. Let God be true and every man a liar. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. To think that you're going to make a little truck and you're going to formulate the wheels and the tires, and you're going to form it all. And you have, how many know when you make something, you have spare parts, pieces? You know what? And you're going to throw those pieces in the trash. And all of a sudden, you're going to look in the trash and go, oh my goodness! Look what happened randomly! There's a watch there! Praise God! You say, Pastor, that's ridiculous. No, that makes more sense than if you understood how developed you were. Absolutely, a watch is nothing compared to your development. Sorry, I went over.
I was, why is this important? Because we need to let God be true. And we need to understand our part in that. If we don't understand, if we can't articulate our own faith, if we have questions about our own faith, how in the world are we going to affect people around us? We are followers of Jesus Christ. Every one of us in this room, most likely, perhaps some of you are here today trying to figure it out, but most of us in the room, we confess that we are followers of Jesus Christ, that we are children of the light, that we are the light to those around us. Where are we getting all this from? We're getting this all from the Bible. Yeah. It's what we believe. That we are to let our light shine, that we are to put it on a lampstand. See, we're not just supposed to have it for ourselves. But it takes effort. How in the world can you minister truth if you don't know truth? It's impossible. But it's going to take effort from you to make this important. We're not in high school anymore. We're not in junior high anymore. But do we spend more of our time watching CSI or Blue Bloods or The Simpsons or who knows what's out there, being on the internet and whatever, who knows? Netflix and all our stuff. Do we spend our time making stuff like this important, or is this non-important? We need to spend our time making stuff like this important. Why? So that we can be all those things that we believe that we are. That we're people who are followers of Jesus Christ. We're children of the light. We're light to the others around us. We are the hope of this world. Amen. How are we that? It's Jesus in us. He's the hope. But he's not here right now, except for in you, the Holy Spirit, that makes him very present. But if you don't tap into that and recognize you're his hands, you're his feet, you're his mouth, then we're none of the things that we believe that we are. Do you see it? So we need to let God be true and expose the lies. To just love people, that we care enough about people, that we invest our time in this. Listen, we as a church, we do this. You're here. You know what? You're loving God. You're here. You're obeying what the Word of God says. Many of you serve. Many of you tithe. It's through our serving, through our tithing, through our coming and educating ourselves of who our God is. These are steps in being those followers of Jesus Christ. But don't miss the step, you know what, where he's in us, and that everywhere we go, we take him into the places that we go. Because there's people who don't know him, and that's our job. It's our job, you and I, that we will take people who have no idea how much Jesus loves them, who has no idea that Jesus died for them, who has no idea that they need to make him their Lord. They don't know that. Because this isn't the only lie that's being peddled out there. There's a lot of lies being peddled out there, right? But as we prepare ourselves and know, how do we do that? We know our God. First commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Do we love him with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind? Or because that takes, what I've learned, that takes time. That takes investment. We have to find time to read our Bible. We have to find time to, you know what, to go into the podcast and listen to this one more time and get just those three things down. We don't have to become, you know, people with PhDs. You know what? Up at the colleges and all that's probably not even a good thing for us. The Bible says wisdom will ruin a fool. We don't need to do that. We just need to be able to articulate something very simple. This isn't a huge investment of time. We need to simplify it, that we can share it. And if we can share it, then that's part of us doing what Jesus, you know what Jesus said? I must be about my Father's business. What is the Father's business? People. Building, bringing people into the kingdom. That's what you and me are supposed to be all about, because that's what he's all about. And he's commissioned us to be about that. We are his hands. We are his feet. We are his mouth. Now, we're doing that in many practical ways. Pastor Drew shared the Whittier Pregnancy Clinic. We are loving people in the name of Jesus Christ, that they would come to understand who Jesus Christ is. One of the things the Holy Spirit said to us at the beginning of this year is that this would be a much greater year of ministry. We've been preparing a lot and doing a lot to prepare. But this is going to be a much greater year of ministry. But that is not a word to me and Pastor. That is a word to Hope Community Church. Because how does growth come according to the Word of God? It comes when each one of us does our share. You have the Holy Spirit just like I have the Holy Spirit. You've been commissioned to build the kingdom just like I've been commissioned to build the kingdom. You've been commissioned to reconcile people back to God just like I've been commissioned to reconcile people back to God. It is my mission. It's what I need to do. And I need to get way more real every day. We've talked about this for the last couple weeks. Holy Spirit's in us. And the more we love our God with all their heart, soul, and mind, not Netflix, not a bunch of books, not a bunch of yaya. There's a lot out there, and you know it. We need to be on point to not get off purpose. You know how they wanted to stop the kingdom being built and stop, you know, the work of God going on by distracting Nehemiah. Come here, you know, let's talk. Hey, you know, they knew what they were doing. But Nehemiah had this resolve. No, I am going to finish this work for God. I'm doing something. We need that resolve in our life, day to day, whether you're at the dry cleaners or at the supermarket or it's your neighbor next door. I'm telling you, the kingdom is in you, and it's your job to get the kingdom out of you. And we're going to be way more on point as a church that we're doing that. These things that we're going to be sharing with you soon, we've done many of these. The Lord told me the other day, the people need to understand how much they're a part of building the kingdom. We're doing, listen, whether you know it or not, we're doing a lot of great things. Amen. We support a lot of ministries. We do a lot of good things. How do we do that? You. You know what? You pay your tithes. Those tithes, we pay a tithe on that. You know what? And we're here in our community, yes, but we're also outside of our community. Amen. Why? Because we're loving people. We're sharing the love of Jesus Christ with people. It's what we're doing. So we're going to put, I don't know where it's going to be. I'm just telling you it's going to be there. You're going to see it. You know what? Whittier Pregnancy Clinic, we've supported them for years. Many of you helped us when we remodeled their whole office. Many of you were there. We did like, I don't know, a two-day stretch, like no sleep, just getting it all done really quick for them. God totally sent us there. Beautiful story, but we don't have time for it. And we continue to support them financially that they can do what they're called to do. I'm really excited about a new ministry, actually, a new mission project that we're going to be doing that is with Operation Underground Railroad. Anyone ever heard of them? Operation Underground Railroad, they work with another organization called Healing Hands, and they are rescuing people who are being human trafficked. Most of them children. And you're going to love, you know what? I mean, we have been searching for that which God wants us to be part of, because, you know what? I think it was 2 years ago, we knew the Lord wanted us to be part of rescuing people from human trafficking. We went, I went, I'm like, okay, is this it, Lord? Is this it, Lord? But I'm not just going to do it because I'm going to know that it's God. Well, I'll tell you the testimony another time, but this week, bingo, there it was. It's beautiful. And you're going to love it. You're going to love it. What a wonderful way. There's these bottles. It's called, listen to what it's called, hope oil. Yeah. So we're going to make available for you that you can get hope oil. It's $20 a bottle. Smells wonderful. It's wonderful. It's like a perfume or something, you know, whatever. It's just pretend it's yours. Anointing oil, whatever you want to use it for, okay? But it's called hope oil. It says hope on it, really big. It's beautiful. $20. You know, what's going to happen with that $20? The whole $20, every bottle of hope oil that we buy is going to Operation Underground Railroad. Every penny of it. It's good stuff. Wait till I show you some of the videos of what's happening. Here's what they do. Your hope oil, you're going to use it for you, and it's great. But if you peeled back the label of hope oil, it's got a phone number. It's got a way that you can reach out if you're being human trafficked. And they take these into these foreign countries as these care packages. You know what? They put them in there. And the people, like, okay, you want to give the people some free stuff, that's fine. You know what you got? You got some lotions, you got some food, you got whatever in there. Okay, that's good. It gets through customs. But through Operation Underground Railroad, these people know what hope oil is. And it gives them a chance. They can peel that back, and it gives them a contact. And former Navy SEALs, this guy, he's cool. I'll show you his video sometime soon. They go in. And they work with law enforcement. They rescue these people. And it's crazy what's going on. But that's something that we're going to be part of. And many, many other things that we're already doing. We're doing that. That's good. But we're also supposed to be part of being Jesus to everyone around us. And that's where we're going this year, every one of us in a great way, as we choose to do that. Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And then you know what? Love others like you love yourself. When you love your Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind, you know what's going to come out of that? You are going to love, excuse me, we're still fighting it. You are going to love others like you love yourself. We are just not, Christianity is about unselfishness. It's what it's about. We give our time, we give our effort, we give our finances. We just work outside of me. That's just what we do. Amen? And through that, people come to know who the Lord is. And so it's going to be a good year for us. Amen? A very, very good year. And so, but we can do our part and share what the Lord is saying, but you need to do your part and get close to God. And hear what he's saying to you in your daily movements. Amen? Amen.